Hello, everyone, and welcome to iCritic Live. This is the podcast where we talk about entertainment, pop culture, and life in between. I am your host, Coventry Rodriguez, film critic of iCritic.net. And what you just heard was part of the trailer for the new ID docu-series, which is streaming on Max at the moment, called Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. This is a documentary expose on Nickelodeon and sexual assault allegations from people who worked on the show. Now, we try to keep this show family friendly, and I'm sure the idea of us talking about Nickelodeon and all these old shows might seem like this would be a fun family time, but I can assure you this is not going to be one of those episodes. We have designated it with a explicit warning label, one of the few times we do this, and we are warning parents that this is not going to be an episode for family. So, Victor, Anthony, if my nieces and nephews are in the car and you're listening to this and we're hoping to listen to Uncle Kevin's newest episode, you might want to turn this off and, listen to it without the kids this one time. Because, do we have something to talk about. Now, as I'm recording this, I have just finished episode 4 of Quiet on the Set. It is Monday night. It is very late. I am probably going to be tired at work the next morning because I'm up late recording this episode. But it's haunting. And I need to say something before, while it's fresh. Because, I see a lot of movies and I see a lot of TV shows. I read a lot of books. I expose myself to a lot of really dark stuff through the media. With entertainment, sometimes entertainment goes in dark places. Sometimes it's justified. Sometimes it's really not. I've seen some documentaries where the dark side of humanity is really shown, and this might definitely be one of them. I encourage people, even though I love movies and film and stuff, I always warn people that Hollywood is not a glitz and glamour place. Hollywood destroys the very dreams that they make money off of. And it can be sick sometimes, and you would hope that the last place that you would see it happen is in kids' cartoons. Well, not even kids' cartoons, but just kids' shows in general. And Quiet on the Set follows the shows that were produced by Dan Schneider. Things like The Amanda Bynes Show, Clarissa Explains It All, Josh and Drake, Zoe 101, iCarly. Dan Schneider is, or was, I should say, because he's no longer working for Nickelodeon. He was Nickelodeon's golden child. He produced a lot of the big hits for Nickelodeon that allowed Nickelodeon to compete with the Disney Channel and, to a lesser extent, Cartoon Network. And the reputation that he had with working with actors and cast members was kind of an open secret. Like, he was always having people give him massage, which that's against union rules. It's also a huge invasion of personal space, obviously. A lot of the former actors and actresses who were on these Nickelodeon shows have come forward and said that they were abused by Dan Schneider and other people on the set. I believe Janet McCurdy has been the most vocal out of all of them. She wrote an excellent book called I'm Glad My Mom's Dead, where she details her experiences working for Nickelodeon and the abuse she suffered from her mother. But she also talks about this, this cruel, overshadowing creator on the shows. This person is just called the creator. And it's been largely interpreted that this was a way to say Dan Schneider without saying Dan Schneider. And after this documentary, I think all pretense and, you know, how should I put this, claims of, well, I don't think you can really say that anymore. It's pretty obvious it's Dan Schneider. So these stories in Nickelodeon show have dogged Schneider and these shows for years. You've seen a lot of YouTubers who look at these clips with adult eyes saying some of these shots look very sexualized, some of these jokes are very weird for a kid's show because, you know, it's very different when, like, you know, Animaniacs, for example, maybe that's a bad example because Animaniacs did have some, you know, perverse adult jokes sometimes, but it's very different when, like, a show like Animaniacs or Tiny Toons or something would sneak in like a joke that only adults would understand, but it wasn't really like an offensive joke by any stretch of the imagination. It was just like a little, you got to be a little older to understand that joke. But a lot of these live action Nickelodeon shows had a lot of feet shots. The kids were put in suggestive poses, like, you know, one shot featured like a guy, teenage boy trying to lift a teenage girl up onto a counter, and he does it several times because he can't quite get her up. And, you know, if an adult, you look at it and it's like, it kind of looks like something's going on behind that they shouldn't be doing in public. There's the Ariana Grande videos are the most popular, where like she's upside down her bed pouring water on herself. It looks like, you know, like a guy is, well, let's just say it looks like something R. Kelly would do to someone. Very disturbing stuff. And these rumors have gone around for a long time. These clips have been compiled by YouTubers, but now ID, which I believe is Independent Discovery, which is a Warner Brothers Discovery division, or Investigative Discovery, that's what it is, they decided to look at the allegations hardcore. They called people, they did their facts, and now they have compiled everything that they've discovered into a four-part docuseries. And it features many of the kid actors from the shows, many of the costumers, the script writers, all these people basically confirming the worst and even more so. In fact, the reason I was inspired to record so quickly after watching this, and I'm actually getting teary-eyed just even remembering it, not even lying, where Drake Bell, I hope that's his name. I am so bad with names. So, yeah, it's Drake Bell. He has decided to come forward and out himself because he was sexually abused by one of the dialogue coaches that were at Nickelodeon. And he was just known as a John Doe during the proceedings, and he did not have a lot of support from the industry. He really got virtually no support from the industry. Outed this guy, took him to court. The guy ended up getting 16 months of jail time and then went to work on a show for the Disney Channel, which unfortunately means that if there is a season 2 of Quiet on the Set, the Disney Channel might be next. Just saying. Maybe even Cartoon Network. Who knows? But I could see the series definitely exposing a lot of toxic workplace environment. Now, Drake Bell, he has given almost an entire episode to himself, primarily because he is such a compelling witness. I do know that it is, legally speaking, a he said, she said thing, although considering the case went through the courts and the guy who did this was found guilty because he confessed. Not a lot of doubt there that Drake Bell is telling the truth. And, you know, this is not something that you can articulate into words very easily, but watching him explain and tell his story and the pauses These are some of the most painful pauses I have ever seen in an interview. When they ask, like, how long did it last, or who was there to protect you, and he was just silent, and you can tell that he's struggling to answer. And the part that got me the most was when they asked, you know, could you tell us what he did to you? And he's just fidgeting, and he's like, I don't know how to answer that question. It's so hard. And the interviewer's like, well, look, just say what you're comfortable with. And he said, you know what? Imagine the worst thing you can do to a kid. And that's what he did. And that was such a chilling response, because basically what I'm taking from that is he did a little bit of everything to Drake Bell. Now, Drake Bell got into his own minor problems with grooming a minor, and he paid his dues, and it seems like he's moved on. It seems like he's improving himself, and, you know, he admitted, like, you know, he almost went down a dark path too, but he thankfully was able to turn his life around and not do that. So I only bring it up because other people will, and the documentary had to bring it up, but these Drake Bell interviews were so uncomfortable to watch, and they were so sad, and it just makes me sick that it even got to this point. And the only person that ever reached out to him, it was never any Nickelodeon executives or staff members, it was Dan Schneider, who definitely had a lot of issues himself with the way he viewed girls and the way he ran his set. This is just a very, very disturbing docuseries. And, you know, this follows a few years after the revelations of Chris Faluci, the creator of Ren and Stimpy, turned out to be a groomer himself, who turned out to be guilty of statutory rape, who basically admitted to sleeping with underage girls. Like, it makes you wonder, what's going on at Nickelodeon? Where are the safety and standard practices? Where are the adults in the room who are supposed to protect these kids? It is really, really sad. And this is a tough watch. It's hard for me to say, like, oh, you gotta watch this because it's entertaining, because it's not an entertaining docuseries. This is kind of like The Social Dilemma and An Inconvenient Truth. This seems like something you need to watch because you need to understand where the problem is. People need to understand that this is a huge blind spot. Like, we can't be having kids be in these kid shows and being subject to these monsters. They need to be protected. They need to be safe. And there's a lot of things in this that, by the time this is going out, we might even be seeing some repercussions from this series. One of the things that came up was that there were powerful people who wrote letters of support for the pedophile who molested Drake Bell. And the letters were unsealed, and there's some bad names in there. I mean, there's some names in there that are, like, very disappointing. James Marsden is one of the names. Ryder Strong and Will Friedle from Boy Meets World. Now, they commented on their podcast that they did not have all the facts and everything like that. Drake Bell accuses them of basically being told that the letters would be unsealed and that they're trying to get ahead of the story. I don't know which of that is true. I could see a little bit of both of that being the case, but some of these names coming out in support of this monster, this is going to do some serious damage to their careers, potentially. And so I'm curious to see what happens there, but here's what I'm most curious to see what's going to happen. What's going to happen to the Nickelodeon brand? Because I'm actually getting to the point where I'm thinking that that brand is toxic. As in, you just need to, you need to get rid of that brand. You need to, and I know, sacrilegious, it's been around for years. I have fond memories watching Nickelodeon. But I think one of the best things for this, for Paramount to do right now, is to retire the Nickelodeon brand and rebrand. Just give it a new, fresh paint, because this is now, this has happened too many times. You have the problems with the Ren and Stimpy creator. That tainted Nickelodeon, but hey, it was a one-time thing. It was one guy, but this, where it's multiple people, and clearly the network didn't do anything. The fact that three pedophiles got to work on many of these shows at once, it's like, this was a problem. Like, Nickelodeon was, at the very least, incompetent in what they were doing. So, I do wonder if Paramount is going to, like, they're probably going to take some flack. They are probably going to put out a statement. At least I'd hope they put out a statement. That's the bare minimum they could do. But I wonder if going forward, if there's not internal meetings going on, like, look, Nickelodeon, the name, has now been mired in two or three major controversies in the last 5 years. People are starting to look at Nickelodeon like they're the company that hires child predators to work on shows with kids. It's hard to come back from that reputation. So I'm wondering if the best thing for Paramount moving forward would be, you know what? Retire the Nickelodeon brand. Just get rid of it. Get rid of the orange. Get rid of everything. Start fresh. Start with a brand new name for a kids block. Like, it's happened before. When TBN became Spike TV or something like that, or Showtime became Paramount Plus with Showtime. They rebrand all the time. And I know Nickelodeon is a popular brand, but now it's popular for all the wrong reasons. And I don't see how it survives as a brand going forward, because I think people are going to look at that orange logo and they're going to feel sick. And they are going to associate it with something sinister and evil and vile. And I just don't know how they get around with that. So anyway, folks, this was not a fun episode. I actually recorded another episode, which was like a rant episode of some sorts that was going to go up today. But this pushed that back to later in the week. So I can tell you next time we're going to talk about animation as cinema fans and the recent demise of Vudu. Obviously, much less heavy conversations than this one. And, you know, with 2020 being a big perspective, far less important topics when you get down to it. But, you know, we do have to, you know, have as much fun as possible. You know, life is hard and it's cruel and it's not fair and there are injustices and we should try to right those injustices, but we should also try to have fun when we can. So I will probably do a follow-up of this situation later on as the fallout, because there's going to be a fallout. I just don't know 100% what it's going to be. But when the fallout starts to occur, we will revisit this topic. It will probably also get an explicit content label on it. Sorry, kids, but there you go. And I'm just going to, instead of doing our usual outro, I'm just going to say, you know, if you need help, there is help out there. In fact, if you have been abused, call the child help hotline. Their phone number is 1-800-422-4453. This will put you in touch with a counselor who may be able to help you out with your situation. Once again, that phone number is 1-800-422-4453. 4453, and it's anonymous. These people will be able to help identify abuse, and they could hopefully help you out with your situation. And if there is an emergency, call 911, please. Get help. Talk to a loved one that you feel you can trust, or call 1-800-422-4453 to seek the help that you need. Take care, everyone, and stay safe.